Good Sunday morning on this first Sunday after Easter. That was Helen Ealy on our church organ with the prelude. Will you please pray with me? Holy God, on this Sunday, we once again gather to celebrate and to worship you. We are in that season after Easter, and we want to continue to remember the importance of that day and the power that that day has to change our lives. It changed the life of the disciples, it changed the life of Thomas, and it will change our lives as well. Now, Lord, send your Spirit to surround us in this worship, for we ask this in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. We often invite violinist Sally Fritz to bring us her talents in worship as she is available. On Good Friday, she began our service with a rendition of the song Jesus Paid It All on the violin with piano accompaniment. Please enjoy. To the Gospel writer John for our text this morning. We read from the 20th chapter, verses 24 through 29. Please listen to these words from God. The title is Jesus Appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed." May God bless the reading of these words to us this day. Amen. Our TPC Bell Ensemble presented a well-known song titled, "How Great Thou Art," on Easter Sunday. They were under the direction of our organist, Helen Ealy, who also did the arrangement for this song. Please let the sound of these bells speak to you on this day. Also on Easter, our chancel choir, under the direction of Jeff Prince, did a song written by Natalie Sleeth. She was a gifted musician who was raised in the Methodist Church and began to play the piano at the age of 4. She married her childhood sweetheart, who was a professor of religious studies at a local college. She has given the church several songs, and today the choir brings you Christ Arose. Please listen to our choir. Please pray with me. Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which falls upon all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Several years ago, a British pastor by the name of Reverend Dr. Steve Griffith was on a mission trip to India. He did some of his work in the cities of India, but one time he went to minister to a village in the middle of a heavily forested area. He and his team were all staying in wooden huts, facing one another in a giant circle. The very first day that they were there, they were instructed that when it was time to go to bed that night, they should make sure that their hut door was closed up completely, making sure not only that the door was closed tight, but the windows were also closed. The reason being for that is that at night, in these rural forested areas, cobras, scorpions, and other dangerous animals will make their way out of the forest and prowl through the campsite. If a door was left open or easy to get into, there was a danger for those who were inside. Dr. Griffith said that even though the door was closed tight and locked, he slept with one eye open, fearing all the danger that was around him. He said he never felt so anxious about anything than the time that he was in that jungle village with the door shut tight. That story helps us understand how the disciples felt in the days after Jesus' death on the cross. It was, after all, the third day, and a few, like Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, had all visited the tomb and had discovered the same thing. The stone had been rolled away, and the body was gone. Some had other encounters in that garden, but you get the sense that even when they relayed these sightings back to the group still hovered in that upper room in fear and confusion. For the life of them at that moment, they could not understand who could possibly have stolen the body of Jesus from the tomb. As evening came on that first Easter day, John tells us that they closed the door for the fear of the Jews. And while we, because we know the whole story as it was played out, can celebrate that Easter Sunday, they were hunkered down in fear, afraid of things outside their door that might bring them harm. I suspect if they slept at all, they would sleep with one eye open. It's sort of tragic to think about the doors being closed and locked, especially because of fear. And even when we think about today's society and our church doors being kept and closed and locked. Growing up in the south part of St. Louis City, in an area dominated by many Catholic parishes, I remember my friends would talk about how they could go into their church anytime they wanted for confession, or to light a candle, or to simply kneel at the altar and pray. Unfortunately, you cannot seem to be able to do that today. The doors of churches have to stay locked when no one is there, and even when they're unlocked, we usually need someone posted at the door to control who comes in. And we can also think of the doors to our hearts. Sometimes we close the doors to our hearts because of uncertainty and fear. We even close them off for the power of God's Spirit to refresh and renew us sometimes. We close them off to people who love us and want the best for us. We close them off for anyone who extends a hand to help us. Society has sometimes made our hearts a bit hardened by the world around us, both the physical world and the spiritual world. And that same closed-off status of our hearts from the input of the world also keeps us from fully loving the world around us and those who are close to us. Now, John tells us that the doors were shut because of the disciples' fear of the Jews. There's no indication in Scripture that once Jesus was crucified, there would be any retaliation towards the followers of him. Most in the rabbinical circles saw that once Jesus was gone, this group of loyalists would soon abandon their causes and eventually disband. But I'm sure there were plenty of rumors flying around about retaliation. Today, we still experience rumors, and we're in even worse shape because now we have all of those social media outlets that can feed the various rumor mills. And so, according to other accounts, this moment with these doors closed tight was the moment for Jesus to make his first post-resurrection appearance. And that's exactly what he does. The disciples in that instant realize that what he said about resurrection was absolute truth, and that no, his body was not stolen, but it was raised from the dead, just as he promised. And so, therefore, all the other promises of Jesus would now be fulfilled. This was a moment of celebration. Unfortunately, according to the text, there was one of those followers who was not present at that first time that Jesus showed up. His name, of course, is Thomas. In the original text, his name infers a twin, and the Greek of that time for the word twin would have been the word Didymus. So the text is referring to Thomas, the twin. We're not sure why he was not there. He does show up after Jesus appears and leaves while the doors are once again shut. Now Thomas gets this bad rap for forever being called the doubting Thomas. The disciples attempt to share with him what they saw with their own eyes and what they heard with their own ears, but he doesn't believe them. I think there's a little bit of Thomas maybe in all of us. There are times when I've received information from someone I considered to be a reliable source that I just wasn't sure about. I had my doubts. In a way, you cannot blame Thomas. They are, after all, still in the upper room and the door is still shut. One would think that if the risen Lord had made an appearance, they'd be out dancing in the streets in celebration, but no, they're still there behind closed doors. And Thomas draws a line in the sand. He boldly says that unless he sees Jesus firsthand, to be able to place his finger in the nail holes on Jesus' body, and his hand in the place where his side had been pierced, he would not be able to trust anything that anyone said. I was born and raised in Missouri, and the unofficial motto for the state are two words, show me. Legend has it that when a congressman from the state known as Duncan Vandiver was attending a naval banquet in 1899, he was called upon to give a speech. And in that speech, he made it clear that it was tough to convince him of anything because he came from a state that required people to show me what they were talking about. And that phrase has stuck. All Thomas is doing is drawing this line in the sand and simply saying, show me. He's not suggesting that what they saw or heard was not true. Just for him, he needed to experience it firsthand. In a way, the door to his heart had been shut, and his mind was shut, and only a personal encounter with Jesus was going to open that door. A week passes, and now we're back in the upper room. And again, the door is locked, only this time Thomas is with them. And then, according to the text, Jesus makes another visual appearance and speaks, this time directly to Thomas. Thomas was able to experience Jesus firsthand, and the door to his heart and mind and soul were opened to the reality that Jesus was truly alive. In that moment, he went from doubting Thomas to disciple for Jesus Thomas, who truly believed Jesus was alive. And now Thomas, that twin, is ready to go out into the world and share the message of Jesus. The Bible only talks about the work of the disciples as they remained in Jerusalem, according to the first part of the book of Acts, but there are extra biblical sources that talk about the travels the disciples went on after those days. And according to some of those sources, Thomas felt called to travel to the east and minister to where else? India. The India with cobras and scorpions and dangerous animals that come out in the middle of the night. Jesus then uses this moment with Thomas as a teaching moment for the future. He points out that Thomas believed because he actually and physically saw and heard and felt the presence of Jesus, but the generations after him, like us, would not have that luxury. Instead, we'd have to base everything on our faith. And faith is based on what we cannot read, and faith is based upon what we can read in the Word of God and from what people tell us about their encounter with Jesus. Retired dean of the chapel at Duke, Bishop Will Williman, tells the story of a farmer who lived in South Carolina who, when he was a young boy, told everyone that he did not believe Europe existed. He knew what people said. He heard stories from people who claimed they were there. He saw pictures of people who claimed they took. He read stuff about Europe in books, and yet he could just not imagine there being any place beyond the Atlantic Ocean. But then, in 1918, this young farmer was drafted into the army, and his tour of duty was in Europe. Upon his return, he told the people just how beautiful Europe was. You see, the door was shut to the truth. Nothing anyone said or did was going to open that door for him. He, like Thomas, needed to experience firsthand the door being opened. But the important thing is that he had to open that door. And we have to open the doors of our hearts as well. We certainly know people who have the doors closed to Jesus. Maybe we were there once as well. Maybe from time to time we think about closing that door. But listen to what Jesus says in the last book of the New Testament, in Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. The question is not if Jesus is no longer around to reveal himself to us. Oh, it may not be exactly the way he did it for the disciples and for Thomas. Jesus, though, has a way of revealing himself to us in ways where we will get it. The question is not that Jesus has stopped. The question is that we have our doors sometimes closed. The disciples had that door closed because of fear and doubt. We have nothing to fear. And we have the truth of the resurrection to remove all that doubt. So I encourage you today to open the doors of your minds, your hearts, and your souls, and let Jesus, who's always standing there ready to come in through that open door. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining us this Sunday as you listen to us each week on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. We are Third Presbyterian Church, and we're located in the Enos Park neighborhood on the north side of Springfield. Today on our church parking lot, beginning at 4 o'clock, we will have Nelson's Food Truck serving a fried chicken meal as a fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity. Our church has been a longtime supporter of their programs. If you're available between 4 and 6, and you want to stop by and pick up a chicken dinner, they're being sold for $12. With the proceeds going to help the efforts of Habitat for Humanity. Our praise team now leads us in a song by Hillsong United, which tells the story of Jesus' last week and ends with the celebration of the resurrection. Please enjoy Man of Sorrows.
Sorrow, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid.
Us in our morning prayer. God, who loves us no matter who we are and no matter how much we doubt, because of your unconditional love for us that is so powerful, it continues to open our doors, to change our hearts, and to transform us. If we allow it, it can take away all the fear, all the uncertainty, and all the doubt. So, Holy God, continue to reveal yourself to us sometimes in the quietness of still moments, and sometime in the boldness of epic displays. Allow the transition of our doubt to become the power to move us forward with the message of hope for the world. In the days after that first Easter, you came into the lives of those who were struggling, and you empowered them to follow you for the rest of their lives. Lord, come into our lives and empower us to follow you all the days of our lives. Now, Lord, bless each one of our listeners and bless this Springfield area that we may minister to the needs of both those who have chosen to follow you and those who still live in moments of doubt. May we be your servants and your messengers to bring both by words we proclaim and by actions we perform to this place in this day and all the days ahead. For we ask all of this in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. Our sending song today is titled Victory in Jesus, and it was written by Eugene Bartlett. He was a songwriter and actually started a music publishing company, but in his later years, he suffered a debilitating stroke that left him pretty much bedridden. And yet, that didn't prevent him from continuing to write songs. In fact, one of his best-known songs was written in 1939, during that time he was bedridden, and it has become our sending song for today. Even in the midst of his worst moments, Bartlett always said there was victory in Jesus. Blessings of God from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit surround your lives with the glory of all things new, and may you walk each day in the way of the Lord as Jesus leads you. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining us this week in our radio ministry. We always thank Helen Ely for her vast music talent, which today included directing our bells. We thank Jeff Prince, our music director, the TPC Praise Team, the TPC Bell Ensemble, and the TPC Choir. And we give a special thanks to Sally Fritz on the violin and Seth Hood, our AV chief. And of course, as always, we thank Matt Miller, who does all of our post-production work. It's a joy to work with all of these talented people. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor at TPC, wishing you the best for the week ahead. And please remember, as always, stay safe out there.